KCSB FM Santa Barbara 91.9. This is Inside Isla Vista. So glad you can be here tonight. We have a packed show for you. First of all, we're going to be looking back to 50 years ago, another memory of the Bank of America burning and what was happening in Isla Vista 50 years ago at this time. We're going to be hearing from a local anthropologist, John Johnson, who was a student back then. And then we are going to be talking a little bit about this big labor rally that's coming up tomorrow. The teaching aides are on strike at UC Santa Barbara. It started in solidarity with their colleagues at UC Santa Cruz, where over 50 people, I heard the number might maybe closer to 80 of teaching assistants that have been fired for withholding grades. And it's all because they're taking this dramatic action to ask for a cost of living adjustment. You'll hear a little bit more about that coming up. But first, my co-host tonight is Noe Padilla with The Bottom Line. And he spoke with Joan Hartman just minutes ago. And here's the very latest from our newly reelected 3rd District County Supervisor.
So, first off, I really want to congratulate you on your victory last night.
Thank you.
Now that you don't have to campaign anymore or focus on campaigning, what is going to be your next big policy for the Isla Vista community?
Well, I'm thinking still about the transition to a renewable energy economy and what a Green New Deal would look like in Isla Vista, and working with various people to determine that from, the community weighing in and exploring that idea. So that's a really key thing. The CSD, of course, has a lot of power, especially regarding parking. And so, how we're going to deal with cars. And if we could get cars out, we could build more housing. We must get the university to build the housing that it is obligated to build. But that'll bring people off out of IV onto the university, and then we have a real opportunity to think about the master plan for Isla Vista and how that will set Isla Vista up for the long-term future.
I like that. I mean, because I remember we've talked before about the housing situation in Isla Vista, and I remember that was what was one of your main topics of discussion when we were doing our interview before. So I guess,
and with the COLA and with the graduate students, I think that really brings the issue of housing front and center for everyone. Housing costs that are driving a lot of that.
And I completely agree, and I think that is a very topical discussion piece, especially with this cohort of students. I feel like the housing situation has been something that's been on everyone's mind. I don't know if you've been following, but there have been students who have been living like little buses out in Isla Vista just because they can't afford anything?
Yes. Well, maybe we can get some parking, working with the CSD and your local government, as well as partnering with county government. Maybe there can be a parking lot for students who don't have homes, and make sure they have what they need. I know the CSD is beginning to explore that idea. It would be much safer to have that on campus than on the streets of Isla Vista, in my view, but I know there is a discussion about that.
Oh, I guess a quick question regarding that. Have you had an opportunity to talk to the chancellor about these kind of ideas, or at least about the housing situation?
The university has an agreement with the county and the city of Goleta and for their housing obligations. And so there have been ongoing meetings and discussions at the staff level, high-level staff, on the long-range development plan and when the university will be building its housing for students, faculty, and staff, and what mitigation there would be for their being out of compliance with the agreement. So that's been ongoing for some time. But we have discussed it with the chancellor, but these things sort of happen at the high staff level, and the chancellor and I don't discuss this one-on-one exactly.
Oh.
Other than in general terms, but we don't negotiate the contract, is what I'm trying to say.
That's good to know. I didn't know that. I'm going to go to my second question, and I know that In the last election, you and Porter had a bit of a close race. What do you think was different between the last election and this election?
I think Porter ran, quite frankly, a campaign that was very deceptive, very full of lies. He ran basically a military campaign to deceive students. And what he didn't know is how smart UCSB students are. And once they started, and Isla Vista residents, and once they started paying attention, they realized that basically he's a liar.
I think that's interesting. I mean,
Rock the Vote SB was one example. His Bruce Porter Fund for Student Resilience was another example. The stuff about the noise ordinance, the stuff about the pipeline. I mean, he just fabricated stuff out of whole cloth. And yeah, as you can tell, I'm still pretty mad about it.
No, and I mean, I could tell. I mean, yeah, I could tell. But you prevailed, right? You prevailed. You got through it all. And I think the students...
Yes, victory is the best revenge for his deception. And I think the students who and the people in Isla Vista, I don't think they like that.
And I think... you know, the students spoke yesterday, and, you know, they went out and they voted for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I want to emphasize, I think they're a lot smarter than you gave them credit for. And they saw through his oil money, and they saw through his so-called nonpartisan status that he's really a hack for the Republican Party and the oil interests.
If you had to describe what county supervisor does, what would you say it is if there is any students who may not exactly know what the county supervisor does?
The way I approach the job vis-a-vis UCSB and Isla Vista is a partnership of equals with the CSD and with the community and with the university, and really helping those different partnerships flourish. I think Porter was a much more top-down. I think one example of that is the forum that we had. And Karen Jones and I came, and we did it on the terms that we were invited to do it. We may not have known all those terms, but we understood that was our role. I think Porter wanted to dictate the terms. And if he didn't do it on terms that he dictated, he wasn't going to show up. But I think that's maybe something about how you view the role as supervisor. We show up, we work with our partners, we try to figure things out together and make happen what the community is really eager to see evolve. And that's what we've done the whole time, and that's what we're going to continue to do, because people in Isla Vista are engaged, they're very, very smart, and how do we just try to capture the energy and get it focused on community goals. That's what we have done with the community center, with lighting, with sidewalks, with Pescadero staircase, and many other things. And that's what we'll continue to do.
So, as you know, for the past week, students have been on strike for COLA, the cost of living adjustment movement. I was curious on what your position was on it. I mean, I know you've been out there marching with them, but I really want to delve into your head and really see like what you think about the situation.
As I said before, the cost of college has gone up 8 times the cost of living, and the cost of housing is 2 and 3 times the cost of living. And so I think the graduate students, the teaching assistants, they are drawing attention. They're kind of the head of the spear for inequality more generally. So I think they are really drawing attention to a problem that's much wider spread. And that's why, one of the reasons why I'm very supportive. And the university can't really function without the teaching assistants and the research assistants. So that's really important.
I think that was the last question. I would just like to say again, congratulations on the big win. And I'm sorry that we kept you on the phone a little longer than we told you we would.
No, glad to do it. And I'm so pleased that you're covering this.
Of course.
And I just want to say, again, in closing, UCSB is, you know, a crown jewel for our county as a whole. So it's really important that from my perspective, that we do all we can to support the university and to support the graduate students there.
I appreciate hearing that, and I'm pretty sure the graduate students and everyone on campus also appreciates it. Okay, thank you.
Nice job. Noe Padilla from The Bottom Line over here at KCSB speaking with our newly reelected supervisor, Joan Hartman. That was a brutal campaign, and Joan kind of got into some of the details of how low it went with her competitor.
Yeah, and I agree, and thank you again for having me on, Lisa.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit, because you asked her about the COLA strike, the cost of living activism that's been happening on campus for the past week. Last Thursday, there was a huge rally. Was there upwards of, well, your competitor, the Daily Nexus, was mentioning 1,000 people on Thursday. I knew there were a lot more than usual.
Yeah.
And even the faculty is getting involved, to calling on the administration to support the teaching assistants to give them the cost of living increase. There's another big rally planned for tomorrow. What do you know about it, and how does the Bottom Line plan to be covering?
So regarding what the Bottom Line knows about it is, it's going to be another big statement, just like the Thursday march was, right? They really want to showcase that they don't want to be ignored, right? They don't want to be ignored, because I feel like in these kind of situations, it's very easy after like one or two major things, like major protests or marches, it's easy to be ignored. They don't want that. They want everyone to know on campus that this is an issue. And so how TBL is going to cover it is, we're going to, just like last week, we're going to have reporters out there. We're going to have maybe 3 to 4 reporters. We're going to have 3 to 4 photographers. We're just going to try and understand what the essence and the what everyone's feeling. Because you want to convey that in next week's story, right?
And are you going to get stuff up on the website by Friday, or do you think? You get stuff up on the website ahead of time. Why don't you give out your web address, too? And I'm also going to see if we can maybe enlist you, depending upon how many KCSB reporters we have out there, we might be enlisting your help to get a little audio for tomorrow night's newscast.
Oh, of course. I'm willing to help. Regarding the website, it's thebottomline.as.ucsb.edu. And then the Twitter, which is also pretty updated pretty frequently, is TBLUCSB.
So look at TBLUCSB. That's awesome. Thanks, Noe. Now, we're seeing a lot of activism here on campus. 50 years ago, this is the anniversary of the fifth bank burning in Isla Vista. The Bank of America was burned by activists in February 50 years ago. KCSB has been running some retrospective coverage, and we're just about to hear a memory from a former student, someone who was a student at the time, and what they encountered the night of the bank burning. I did want to let you know that I don't know if you were around here the last couple of weeks, but KCSB has had our fund drive. We only do it once a year for 10 days. And our listeners really came through this year. We raised over $26,000, which is awesome for us. Yep, that's awesome. And because we were doing some of this bank burning commemorative coverage, we had played a radio documentary featuring KCSB News. You should have seen, we had like all close to 100 reporters at one time, KCSB 50 years ago for our news team.
Wow. Really?
That's what a former news director told me. He was a little ahead of the class of 1970, but Cy Godfrey was the general manager then, and we have sound of them actually covering the bank burning, so that was cool. We played it during our fund drive, and a listener, a very nice, longtime Isla Vista resident, Arthur Kennedy, heard our coverage. He brought over a box of these bank burner checks. So they're actually checks that say Bank of America with a K instead of the C, Isla Vista branch. And in fact, there's a huge one on the wall. It's poster art, and it's bright red and orange and yellow. And it looks like a big check, but it has the picture of the Bank of America burning in the background. And you can see that photo at kcsb.org. Hopefully you can see the bank check too. But it was really cool, because I just found out today that we had a lot of interest in this vintage poster art, because it's activist poster, vintage activist. And we got donations, and people, we offer thank you gifts when you make a donation. And we went through about 30 of these giant bank burning posters have been picked up by our listeners. So thanks to Arthur Kennedy, who donated this box of about 100 of these posters, KCSB was able to raise a lot more money maybe than we would have. And We're getting the word out about Isla Vista's history and the activism, its activist roots. I mean, Isla Vista has been, even Joan Hartman had said at a meeting a few weeks ago when I promoted this episode coming up for Inside Isla Vista of the bank burning, it's like, it's still happening in Isla Vista, the activism, 50 years later, because it's only in the last 4 years that Isla Vista has gotten their own government with the community services district.
I know, and I think that is something that's really interesting. When you just go through the history of just UCSB and Isla Vista, there's always activism happening, right? You had the protest at the
North Hall.
Yep.
That was 2 years ahead of 1970. The black students of color wanted
they wanted studies department. Yeah, we actually just ran a story about this, just kind of showcasing the history. But yes, I think it was in the 1968, the black students of the UC system basically put in some demands asking for a black studies department. They were ignored. And then, so what happened was the 12 students at UCSB, they went and barricaded themselves in North Hall. And they said, we want this department. We want it to be heard. And so by, you know, holding that power and holding that building, that's what really pushed the UCSB to move forward and be like, okay, we hear you, right? And so there's always been activism on campus, right? I know it's a little harder to see it sometimes, but, you know, I feel like with the bank burning, the North Hall, and then with COLA, these are going to be things that will be attached to the school and to the memory of the school in the same way that, for example, as me, a transfer student, I think one of the first nights I walked around Isla Vista, someone pointed at the old Bank of America, and they said, "Do you know the story about that?" And I was like, "No, it's just a building."
Yeah, because
like,
now it's a study hall. It's it's a classroom for UCSB. But
yeah, and I just found it was so interesting that, you know, it happened 50 years ago, but it sounded like it happened yesterday, right? In the voices of the students here, and I think that's for sure something that's very nice about this campus is when there's a victory, they'll talk about it for 100 years.
We remember. It's incredible the people that I've gotten to talk to and who have stories. In fact, you're going to be hearing more of the stories coming up on the next few weeks of Inside Isla Vista because I'm just not having time to play everything during Fun Drive. But I've spoke with we're going to hear more from our general manager, I guess, next week since we wound up speaking with Joan and you came on. We'll catch more of Cy Godfrey's story of being general manager here. And when the police came to shut down KCSB, the one time they actually did. And then there was another time when they wanted some recordings of KCSB. And I don't know if it actually had to do with the takeover of North Hall when they were supposedly there were some profanities on a recording that the police were asking for. And the KCSB staff didn't give it to them because they didn't want it, you know, reporter privilege. They didn't want to turn over their tapes. And then we have a story coming up in a week or two about a married student at the time who went to the rally where William Kunstler spoke. And that was what happening at Harder Stadium the day before or the day earlier in the day before the bank burned. So we're going to hear his story and coming up and what it was like being a student with a little baby on campus and during the Isla Vista riot. So that's all coming up on Inside Isla Vista. So thanks so much for joining me, Noe, today. Let's go ahead and move into a little bit of a commemorative of the 50 years ago. This is John Johnson, who was an anthropology major at the time. He was the night that the unrest started that led to the bank burning 50 years ago, February 25th. He was in the UCSB library. And here's his story here, talking about what he remembers from 50 years ago.
I was a student taking a biology course and we were studying in the library getting ready for a midterm, I think. We were studying for an exam in any way in the library that evening. All of a sudden, the speaker came on in the library saying, "We're going to close the library early because things are getting out of hand in Isla Vista." And so my roommate and I, you know, left, and we started walking back towards Isla Vista. And I think that day, if I remember right, William Kunstler had spoken on campus, and people started then, after his speech, it kind of fired everyone up, and people were overturned dumpsters and set them on fire and kind of chased the police out of Isla Vista. And I think it's the same date that we were studying at the library, but when we walked back, we encountered the Bank of America. There it was on the loop in Isla Vista, and the doors were open. Everything was, all the papers, bank papers and desks, everything were littering all over the floor. And my roommate and I walked through the center of the bank. I mean, at that time.
You went inside the bank?
We went inside the bank. It was because it was rather shocking, you know, to see everything thrown everywhere. And we were just witnessing. We weren't trashing it. We were just walking through it. We went back to our apartments and we're listening to the radio. And when we were listening on the radio, there was, they said, well, the bank is on fire. And we went up to a neighboring apartment house where we got up on a balcony. And sure enough, we could see the flames in the distance. And then we walked all the way back to the center of town where we stood and had a front row seat watching that bank burn down and go up in flames.
Were there any fire trucks there trying to put out the fire, or was it just burning on its own?
I don't remember that there were any fire department personnel that came there that evening. I just don't recall that. I think we just were there and watched it burn down. Later on, you know, there was a series of weekends in which there was rioting that went on. I was never a participant in it at the time. However, there was some instances of police brutality, and of course, one student lost his life, who was
at the Bank of America, defending the Bank of America.
Yeah. So we had a big sit-in because they had a curfew, and so we had a big sit-in in the park there to protest police brutality and really in defiance of the curfew. And they gave us a warning. They said, well, we're going to take you into jail. And they, one at a time, they started leading people away into this waiting bus to take them off to jail because they were practicing civil disobedience, you know. And so they took my roommate, you know, put him on the bus. And then just as they got to me, they said, well, the bus is full and we're going to give you a little warning and then we're going to fog everyone with tear gas. And so that's what happened is they, everyone still stayed there, and then they just waded into the crowd with this big fog machine producing tear gas, and everybody was gassed, and we all ran for it at that point and sought refuge in various apartments nearby.
So your eyes started watering, and yeah. How long did it take for the tear gas effects
to
wear off?
Well, it burns your eyes, and yeah, your eyes, it stings, and your eyes start watering. And so I then, you know, when there were no police cars going by, I returned back to my apartment. And my roommate, however, was in jail, right?
Yeah, so how did he wind up with a case? Did they wound up dropping the charges, or?
Yeah, then the next day we all went down to the courtroom to see what was going to happen with all of this. And Judge Lodge, who at that time was one of the judges, his wife, Sheila Lodge.
That's what I was going to say. So it wasn't Sheila. It was Sheila's husband.
Yeah, Sheila's husband. Sheila was later mayor of Santa Barbara.
Right. That's
and she still lives. I saw her at the farmer's market last weekend. Uh-huh. You know, she's still around. But her husband then basically dismissed all the charges on everyone. And my roommate was freed and I drove him back home. And another friend of mine who was an anthropology major, he was a year or two ahead of me. And he... you know, he was studying in his apartment and, you know, just went outside to, you know, get a breath of fresh air, basically. But it was after curfew. And, you know, when he went out to get a breath of fresh air, there was a policeman hiding behind the bush next and went out and arrested him right then and there, just when he went outside, you know, take a break from studying.
Oh, that's insane. That's nuts.
So he ended up spending a night in jail.
So how did that change you? Did you guys continue to participate in the unrest in Isla Vista? Did it scare you?
Well, it was pretty much the end. Actually, when the student was killed, lost his life, it pretty much...
Kevin Moran, that was his
Kevin name. Moran, right. That was the... things quieted down after that.
And that was former UCSB student John Johnson remembering his time in Isla Vista 50 years ago. Yes, Kevin Moran, such a sad situation, tragedy, how he was out there at the Bank of America. This was in April. This was after the bank had burned, and there was a new temporary trailer for the bank, and Kevin was shot. Reportedly by stray gunfire. Our guest last week suggested, was it really an accident? And that's very, very sad. So we've been remembering and reflecting on 50 years ago in Isla Vista. We had a busy show today. And we were listening to this story, and it's really incredible. I don't know if you've seen the photographs, which you can check out at kcsb.org, of how many law enforcement were in Isla Vista. They really swarmed the entire streets, and they rode around in these dump trucks. It was crazy. It was firing tear gas.
Yeah, I haven't actually had the opportunity to see those photos, but something I kept staring at throughout the whole, just when he was talking, I kept staring at your wall and the poster you were talking about earlier.
Oh, the bank burning poster.
Yeah, and I was super curious if, for anyone who wasn't able to maybe be a part of the fund drive, if anyone was interested in getting one of these posters, because y'all, it's a piece of art. But if anyone was interested in being able to get it, how could they do that?
Well, okay, a fund drive is officially over. Thank you for asking. I think you're interested too, so I'm hoping you can get the student rate. But for the $50 pledge, if you wanted to pledge to fund drive, even though we're officially done for the year, we do still have some of these posters. So if you go online, you can pay through an online donation, suggested $50, and then write in the notes section when you fill out the form to donate that you would like the bank burner poster. You can come and pick it up at KCSB, or we can arrange getting it to you another way. It is really cool. Are you going to put it on the wall if you get one?
I'm debating on picking up maybe one or two, maybe one for myself and just putting it like right behind my TV, but two maybe to even just put it up in the TBL office.
Oh, in the TBL office. Wow. That's a great idea, because that is definitely some history of Isla Vista right there. I'm going to, you were mentioning Twitter, because your bottom line, Twitter is always active at TBL UCSB, right? Yeah. And my personal Twitter is at Lisa_FM. And I did tweet some photos of this poster. It's orange and red and yellow, and it's a vintage activist art that we were gifted from a longtime Isla Vista resident, Arthur Kennedy. So thanks for that. And if you want to check it out, or maybe you want to donate to pick up your very own poster, but we did really well with that extra donation. So we're about out of time, Noe. We're going to be out at the demonstrations tomorrow, the COLA rally that's happening right above our KCSB studios here at Stork Tower. It's going to be an interesting day on campus, and we'll have to see how staff and faculty do if anyone stays home from work, not to cross the picket lines. And we know that faculty has been out demonstrating with the teaching assistants who are asking for cost of living adjustments.
And I think it's going to definitely be interesting, especially after you've seen all the support from the different departments, like the history department, anthropology department. And I'm ready for tomorrow. I'm excited for tomorrow.
Well, we'll be looking for the coverage in the bottom line, and be listening 5 o'clock tomorrow night to the KCSB News for that as we bring you the latest. Thanks again, Noe, for speaking with Joan Hartman. Thanks to Joan Hartman, and congratulations to Joan for hanging on to her seat as our 3rd District County Supervisor representing Isla Vista. Make it a great one. This is 91.9 FM, KCSB.